views stated by the hosts of this podcast are opinion only and should not take the place of a qualified healthcare professional or mental health specialist. This podcast is for education and recreation. Welcome to Ask a Hag, a podcast about self-care and witchcraft in the modern world. I am Allison.
I'm Leslie.
We are asked questions every day in the work that we do within our community, and this podcast is a space for us where we can share our knowledge and experience as witches and healers. This is a place where you, dear listener, can find inspiration and also feel empowered wherever you are on your journey. Welcome.
Right.
Welcome. Welcome.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, hi.
It's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you as well.
FaceTime style once again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Staying yep. safe. I dressed up for you again.
Oh, that's nice. Hmm?
I was wearing an outfit that I wore 2 days in a row, and then I decided to change. Because I was like, you know what? Leslie needs to see me. So,
well, thanks, Allison.
You're welcome. I spritzed my face with some rose water.
I love that rose water.
So nice.
I sure do.
Mm-hmm. So we're coming up on a full moon on Friday, and that is the rose moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were talking mm-hmm. about in June. What's the sign it's going to be in? I didn't.
Sagittarius.
This is going to be a nice moon to dream up some new visions for our lives. Wouldn't you say? What do you say? What do you think? What do you say? Isn't that nice? Some new visions for our lives. We are recording during a time where our country here in the U.S. is discussing lots of things about racism and police brutality, which is really heavy and hard on our hearts. So I think this full moon on Friday is going to be really nice to kind of give us a little bit of light and guidance.
Well, the thing with a Sagittarius full moon is that Sagittarius wants to wander and wants to explore. So I think a lot of people, it's going to be hard to keep people seated.
Mm.
People are going to want to be off adventuring and seeking guidance in sort of that unknown space, sort of a sense of wanderlust and a sense of roaming. So I would say that that would be kind of a key thing to do, because Sagittarius wants to support the idea of expanding and growth. And I think that going to a place, certainly not running from any of this, but going to a place to quiet the mind for a period of time could be helpful around this full moon, a recharge, a recalibrate, and come back in strong again to do more work, I think is a little bit of where Sag is calling us right now.
Beautiful. That's great.
Yeah.
Regrouping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm 100% saturated when it comes to news and looking at the media and, you know, all the things that are going on in our country and all the work that people are doing to try and make it right. And what comes to mind for me is what can we do? And so I think that this is relevant, you know, even though this episode's going to come out next week, I still think it's relevant to kind of talk about what we're doing as witches, you know, as citizens, as white women, you know, for this movement, which is so important. And I myself am, you know, really digging deeper as far as looking at that shadow work that's being called for us to do. And it's not fun. It's not silly. It's not lighthearted. It's big stuff, you know? And but it's just, it's so important. I can't stop thinking about it. It's pretty much all I've been thinking about since, you know, the announcement of George Floyd's murder, you know. And one of the things that I've been also exploring is spell work that we can actually do and perform to help support this whole process. And kind of, you know, taking a moment to pause and thank the folks on the front lines that are doing this important work too. And I'm doing that through social media, right? And I know you are too. What kind of spell work are you doing right now for this?
I don't know if it's necessarily spell work that I'm doing right now for this as much as it's trying to regain energy, an energy supply for everybody. I keep envisioning myself being wrung out like a washcloth and then made full again, and wrung out like a washcloth and made full again, in an effort to, oh, I hate the term hold space, but in an effort to be strong for other people that need it.
Right. Yep.
I've thought a lot about role throughout this, and I've thought a lot about my role throughout this, and I can only liken it, because I've never experienced anything like that. So what, as human beings, we immediately try to compare it with something that we're familiar with.
Sure.
And even this I'm not familiar with, but I immediately think of wartime. And I think about people that are fighting, physically fighting out there, getting hurt, getting knocked around, and then brought back to a stretcher to the healers and the nurses. And the healers and nurses are using their power and their resources and their wisdom and their knowledge to heal and tend to those that have been hurt. And I am feeling like that is my role.
Yeah.
Is to be one of the people that can hold and heal and help others that are out there. Well, of course, trying to do, you know, I mean, I try to bring acknowledgement to everything, and I try to make, you know, donating monies, and I try to do that kind of work. And then I also do the work for me, the shadow work for me. Coming into the place of not saying, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, when you say I'm not a racist, full stop, you end it there and you don't expand it. So I'm trying not to be. I'm learning, give it that full stop, you stop it there. I'm not. But when you open it up, and then, you know, I'm trying to understand how this, you know, I'm going back in history and learning how this country was built and why it's wrong and why it, you know, why it needs to be restructured and why that is so important. I'm not casting spells around this. I'm more trying to prepare and educate myself.
Which to me, Leslie, is probably the most important work, because, you know, when we grow up in a society that is built around white supremacy, we have to work hard to deprogram. And working on ourselves changes the system. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's the witch's work, is working on the self. So this, I mean, this is really deep and really important. And I find it really interesting that it is happening at the very beginning of eclipse season.
Well, and it's happening during the first shadow, where Mercury is entering into the first shadow part. And I taught a class back in February about Mercury retrograde and why we shouldn't fear it. And I went through the different stages and cycles of Mercury retrograde. And that first shadow period, when it moves into that, which we're heading into yesterday, June 2nd, June 3rd, we headed into that first. That is the immediate illumination and glimmer of what we will be dealing with throughout Mercury retrograde.
Mm.
So I've always learned that, like, anything that kind of jumped out at you is the thing that presents the issue that needs to be healed and cleared.
Mm.
Could be small, could be large.
Sure,
and so globally,
sure.
As a nation, or more kind of focused in as a nation, we are absolutely focused in on protesting and finding justice and coming to a place of equity right now, as that's coming in on June 2nd. And then that will go fully direct on June 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it goes through to July 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Let me double check.
Please.
I'm sorry, July 12th, but actually July 25th, it'll be fully out of its shadow,
because
it's like 2 weeks in experiencing it, you know, the 5 weeks sort of four or five, six,
uh-huh.
2 weeks out. So it's kind of like, it's, you know, you're that's yes, you know, we've got the lunar eclipse coming in on the 5th.
Yeah.
And that's when all this, and we've kind of been revved up with this work starting a few years ago when this major eclipse started. So
it's true. Yeah. It doesn't feel unfamiliar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean, I don't feel like I'm being hit with like a ton of bricks with this stuff. It feels, it just feels like the timing is right,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, it's not like we haven't, you know, I mean, this isn't the first time we're seeing this.
No.
Too, so it's
no.
like,
yeah,
this is, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it is. It's exactly, I'm talking in memes today, but I also saw another meme about this woman who's like standing out on her front lawn, squinting her eyes. And it's like, so what chapter in Book of Revelations are we at today?
Uh-huh.
All of this, like,
yeah,
you know, the fires and the looting. Fear and all of that stuff was in there,
mm-hmm.
is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to read right now, but anyway.
That is interesting. Yeah.
But so, yeah, no, like I can understand why it's not unfamiliar for you, because it's been popping up.
Sure, sure, sure. So there's a really great person on Instagram who goes by the handle of Oregon Wood Witch. Do you know them?
Yeah, you've introduced me to this person.
I'm going to look up his name real quick, because I found that he is a wonderful resource. J. Allen Cross, Oregon Wood Witch, is an excellent resource as far as someone who posts educational things about spells that people can do. I think that he was, he did that spell for Brazil and rainwater that got really popular on Instagram. And he's put out another one, two different spells that I shared in my stories recently. And the one is to protect protesters, whenever they're doing their work peacefully. And this is candle magic, which I think is really cool. And then the other one is to bind the police, which is a really interesting spell that actually has Japanese knotweed as one of its ingredients in it. So I would highly recommend the listeners to look up Oregon_wood_witch on Instagram and check out those two spells, because I find them to be really thoughtful and timely and helpful and all those things. And he's just a really great resource. He's really well spoken and, you know, really educated and all of that. And he's a Catholic witch, for those of us out there that have been toying with what to do with their Christian background. So that's also pretty cool. You know, do you have any resources that you've been, really looking at, as far as other folks doing stuff online?
Somebody that is a voice of a very base need right now. And it's this beautiful woman. I first found her on TikTok. Her name is Tabitha Brown.
Oh,
and
Tabitha.
She, do you know Tabitha
I
Brown?
I do.
Because we've shared,
yeah,
right?
We have. Yeah. She's an angel on earth. Oh my God.
She's a mother. She's a vegan cook. Mm-hmm. So themes that have been jumping out with me, and I was actually talking, Alicia and I were talking about this last week, is the deep healing mother. The mother.
Yeah.
Mother. Whose mother? I need mother. I need mother to help me heal my mother issue. Mm-hmm. And Tabitha is such a huge healing, mothering energy that you can just feel absolutely wrapped in her. So she's felt really loving to me, and
yeah, me too.
Has been a really great place to go. And I say this because Alicia's felt it in the work that she's been doing, and I have been feeling it. It's nothing that I was looking for. I'll just say that it was never anything that I had intended or was looking for, but a lot of TikTok followers have started to see me as mother as well.
Yeah.
And have really sought solace in, my voice, and I seek solace in Tabitha's voice, right? So it feels like this cycle that's happening, that there's a deep need to be nurtured and held in a mothering, healing, loved, unconditionally kind of way right now. Mm-hmm. So I am seeking, or I have noticed that kind of energy coming in strongly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And have just finally begun to assume and intentionally claim that role. Like, okay, I will be this to you if this is what you need.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You seen any of that?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I laughed because I'm also getting that with people too. I just had a client send me a message the other day that said, like, you're my fairy godmother, you know?
Yeah.
And I have people, it's a very similar experience. So,
and it's needed.
It is needed because we are all, everybody's nervous systems are indeed, freaked out at the moment. And, you know, it's inherent in us to seek comfort in that kind of, archetype, you know?
And I've noticed that a lot of people, too, especially in readings, have been very nostalgic for their yesteryear, myself included.
Yeah, me too.
And mm-hmm. I did a reading for a woman in New York the other day, and she shared that she was finding balance and groundedness in the movies she watched as a child because that was familiar and steady for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I started to notice that I was craving foods that I used to eat as a child. And so there feels like there's a lot of inner child work that's going on, that we're going to this place of, for those that I know, many of you have struggled without having a safe childhood. So I'm, you know, forgive me, but I always usually say going to a place where you felt safe and held and nurtured and you could study and find your balance and be grounded there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was at 17, maybe it was at 37, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. finding that place that you can go back to. And I've noticed that in this uncertainty and in this, a lot of chaos that's happening, folks are finding comfort for their nervous systems in that space.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Side note, Donna just shared with me something that I find really interesting. She showed me a post from Amy Sedaris, who we all know and love.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. She says, food for thought. The last time Saturn was in Aquarius was during the Rodney King riots. The last time Pluto was in Capricorn was during the American Revolution. And Neptune was in Pisces when Rome fell. We have all three right now.
Yeah, I just saw that meme on TikTok today. Yep. Yeah.
So we're in some big shit, guys. Hold on. Yeah, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's
for the good.
It is for the good. Absolutely. And,
you know, this reminds me of the Tower card. Like, we've had whispers of this. We've had screams of this. And it hasn't listened.
No.
And so it has to fall.
That's right. It has to. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
What kind of plants are good for this kind of stuff right now?
Well,
I know we've talked about agrimony. We've talked about a lot of really great things. Anything new you haven't talked about
yet? Nothing new. I mean, I'm going back to lavender. I know back in January I said lavender was, but I mean, honestly, it has been my touchstone, so to speak. It's a wonderful ally for any kind of calming support inside or outside. You know, you can make lavender tea and drink it and have, you know, this same effect as smelling it. Another one is the rose. I find that rose medicine for right now is really timely. In the work that you do with plants, you'll find that they will show up when you need them the most. And roses happen to be blooming right now in Pennsylvania. A lot of different varieties. And the rose is the protector of our heart space. It gives us grace. It is a sacred symbol for the Great Mother. It's been used as a symbol in most major religions for the divine feminine. And, you know, rose medicine physically is for our heart space. It's a cardiovascular herb. So I think that rose medicine is really stepping up for us right now to keep us protected and safe and comforted during these times where we have to fight for what's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to share this. Derek shared this with me today, and Venus is, there's something that's called the Rose of Venus, and it's a cycle, like a moon cycle, and we are experiencing this cycle. She's actually kind of coming to the end of an 8-year Venus rose.
Oh.
And it actually looks like Venus makes cycles, and then once she kind of completes, it's a rose.
Oh my. Oh, the pathway looks like a rose.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see if I can kind of show you. Just like, I don't know if you can kind of see this.
Oh, I can. Yes. Oh my God, that's gorgeous. Wow.
So every 8 years, Venus dances with the Earth, forming a perfect geometric pattern that looks like a rose. And it goes through different cycles. And so it's made up of 5 Venus cycles, which take 18 months each. Mm. And it's kind of a lot to get into, but just to kind of whet your appetites, go ahead and Google the Rose of Venus. But why it's important to talk about this right now and share it as you share this rose magic that you work with and the rose medicine that you work with. Today, June 3rd, we experience an inferior conjunction. So Venus, we know, is retrograde, aligning with the sun, but it's also the end of an 8-year Venus rose.
Wow.
So it marks the completion of the rose because Venus returns to the spot where it started 8 years ago in Gemini.
Hmm.
So as Venus is reborn on the 3rd of June, so too are we. All the work, all the effort that we have put in our heart, our truth, and our inner voice will finally come to fruition as we will emerge as a flower in full bloom. Now, it goes on to kind of complete the cycle. We have June 25th, March 26th, 2021, December 19th, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole long process that I don't want to get into it. But the next rose, I believe, that begins a brand new cycle is June 1st, 2028.
Hmm.
So we're like in this. This is a off of a website that I got this information from called foreverconscious.com. And you can just type in the Rose of Venus. There's a lot of good information. I'll share that when we air this too. Mm-hmm. So folks can take a look at the link.
Beautiful.
On our site. But something to look at. We are definitely blooming and we are definitely growing
and
shifting right now.
Yes, we are.
From a heart-centered space.
So roses on our altars, right?
Yep.
Roses in our homes. Roses as offerings. Rose tea. put it in your cakes when you make them for solstice, which is
coming
up.
Spray it on your face.
Spray it on your face, exactly. Rose oil. Anything you can do to incorporate rose right now would be really excellent, I think. Take them with you to protests. Hold them, you know, hold them close. Yeah.
Petals in your shoes.
Petals in your shoes, yes. Pin them to your hair. Mm-hmm. But they are really great protectors, and they're beautiful. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Especially those old ones.
We've got Erin from PA. I love your podcast. I always look forward to it. I'm pretty green as a witch that has finally started to accept that aspect of my life. Since I've finally given myself permission to come into my own, I've been delving into the knowledge of this lifestyle with a frenzy. The subject of deities has just come up, and I'm wondering if Hecate and Diana are supposed to be the same person. There are so many names. Thank you, and I can't wait to hear your feedback.
Well, thank you, Erin. From what I understand, Diana is a triple goddess, and Hecate is one of her forms.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hecate is the goddess of witches and witchcraft and of crossroads and movement. And she is also known as a great healer and an herbalist. And she's a pretty dope goddess to work with. I don't know what phase she's supposed to be as far as like Virgin Mother Crone. I want to say that she's the crone, because she is also the goddess, a goddess of death. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Have you done any work with Hecate or Diana before?
No, I don't. No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I have done work with Aradia, who is Diana's daughter,
mm-hmm.
because Aradia made a promise to her mother to come down and teach humans witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt compelled to be working with her for that reason. And Diana's, I suppose, consort is Lucifer.
Oh, I didn't know that. Huh? Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So Diana and Lucifer gave birth, brought Aradia into
yeah,
the world.
Sure.
So Selene
mm-hmm.
is the other, and then Hecate and Diana.
So those are, so, that's the triple goddess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it is. It's so Diana is thought to be the virgin goddess,
mm-hmm.
like the maiden, and then Luna Selene would be the
full mother.
Moon, the mother,
okay.
and then Hecate, the new moon, the
oh,
crone,
cool.
or the
yeah.
But it can be really confusing because
yes.
you have your Roman gods and your Greek gods.
That's true.
And then your Norse gods, and then your so a lot of time, like I think Hestia and Vesta are the Greek and Roman versions of the same.
Yep. And which is right. which, and I don't know.
which is which,
which
right?
is which.
Yeah, and this is why it's important, and we talked a little bit about this in Do's and Don'ts last time, about, you know, not rushing into doing deity work. And me too, like I
yeah,
don't.
Me too.
Sometimes I'll cast a circle and somebody will show up and I'm honored.
Yep. Yep.
And I invite them in, but they want to come in, they come in,
mm-hmm.
and we work.
Mm-hmm.
We do work.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not seeking them out. And I think we talked about that too. I let them find me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's smart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm with you on that. I'm not much of a player with the old gods. I'm with you. If they pick me, cool. But I'm not going to go out searching. Because frankly, I don't feel like I'm strong enough to kind of, you know, work with them. So unless they take a shine on me, I'm not really calling them in either. That doesn't mean that I don't do research on them. It doesn't mean that I don't, you know, I'm not fascinated by them. But I've never been one, even whenever I was much younger and, you know, reading and stuff and dabbling in things, I didn't really feel called to really, you know, work with one specific deity. And I don't know why. It just didn't
yeah.
happen for me. Yeah.
I always saw it as the great mother goddess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Venus of Willendorf.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And I always would think of her as consuming all.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
And same. So when I think of goddess, I think of full breast, full pregnant belly, sure. like naked and free and wild yep. and all knowing. Mm-hmm. So I usually go to her
yeah.
energy, that goddess energy, her, him. She's probably yeah. hermaphrodite too. You know, like
that it's being.
yeah, that
yeah.
incredible guide.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's kind of where I've always worked with that.
Yeah. I'm with you on that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. Not surprising.
Yeah. She shows up for me all the time. Mm-hmm. I see her in the clouds. I see her everywhere.
Mm-hmm. 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 The creator, if you will. The great creator. Mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I know that there's, you know, tons of information out there about, you know, about all of these beings. And I shared in a past episode that I've been really into the Norse, tradition. I know that there is, there are people that are a part of, you know, Hecate's, following, you know, you can be, you know, inducted into her cult, you know, Hecate's cult. There's lots of books out there about her too. So, you know, there's lots of information out there, but yes. So going back to the original question, Diana and Hecate are two goddesses that represent the triple goddess, the mm-hmm. maiden, mother, crone, virgin, mother, crone, mm-hmm. that kind of mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. Good question. Mm-hmm. All right. Renee from PA writes, "Hi, beautiful magical hags. Today, during my time with tarot, I asked my guides to come in. I'm still getting used to calling on my guides, so this is fairly new for me. When I did this, I saw ethereal-looking animals that seemed to be almost otherworldly, but in a very beautiful and calming way. So I guess what I'm asking is, do guides always have to be human or ancestors? Is there a name for these kinds of guides that came through to me today? Thank you for reading my question and building such a wonderful and loving community. I hope you two are doing well during this chaos of the world." Well, thank you. And well wishes to you as well, Renee.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Renee.
In my experience, they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes.
The fact.
Uh-huh, yeah. I've got human sizes. I've got a big, tall pine tree that likes to hang out next to me while I sleep. I've got, I know, right? I've got,
where's Donna fit into
well,
all this?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a spirit. Donna's right next to me. I've got all kinds of things, all sorts of things. Sometimes just like little orbs of light that happen to be a guide of some kind. I mean, they can come in any shape and size that they feel, but most of the time they'll come to you in a way that you will understand and be comfortable with. That's just mm-hmm. my experience. What do you think, Leslie, about that?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. You know, there are so many. I've always come from the school of thought that if you've thought about it, it exists. You know, because I think that there's such an incredible vastness that exists in this universe, galaxy, and you hit a black hole, and then you go into a whole nother universe and galaxy, and they can go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really being connected in with whomever is showing up for you in a loving and compassionate way, and then moving forward, that and opening that like dialogue and finding out more about these beautiful creatures and building that relationship. I love that they came to you in this ethereal
yeah,
light.
Me too.
These ethereal light beings, they could be extraterrestrial too, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm saying, there's so many things that we haven't seen
mm-hmm.
that are possible.
That's true.
Oh, what a so lucky, Renee. That's wonderful. They're so ready to work with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just jumping right out, ready to get to task. So I love that, hearing that for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they love too that you're working with tarot. So I would keep that. I would use that as a platform to communicate with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, do you have any tips or tricks for how to better engage with this sort of scenario with them?
Yeah, talk to them.
Yeah.
Don't overthink
it. All you got to do is talk.
Yeah. Just don't overthink it, you know. And then allow, you make room for space for them mm-hmm. in your life. Mm-hmm. Make actual literal room and space for them in your sacred home. By, you know, we always talk altar, sure. But like, I will immediately, like if I'm, I'll just touch my shoulder. And that's an indication that I know you're here and I know you're guiding me and I know that we're doing this together, mm-hmm. this work. Mm-hmm. So recognizing, acknowledging, communicating, just like a new friend. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And thanking.
And offering, yeah.
Yeah, and thanking, yeah. Yeah, I think...
And letting them know when you're ready to see more of them or do more work too, I think is big.
Yeah. Asking them to come back. Absolutely. Yeah. Just having a conversation. It can be as simple as what's your name?
And don't overthink it.
Exactly.
If they're like fussy wussy, then be like, okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
What's your name?
Fussy wussy. Like,
that's what came right into my head. So that's going to be what it is for now till I get a confirmation on that.
Uh-huh, you know? Uh-huh. Oh, that's good. I like it.
Yeah, overthink it.
No, you don't need to do that. And then,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and also having a notebook nearby, you know, because if you're, you know, if you're interacting with them, you want to be able to like remember it. And I forget stuff all the time if I don't write it down. So
I kind of have this inkling that my guides' names exist in the nicknames I give my familiars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they're like this one. So I had a beautiful session with a woman named Asia, who's spirit guide coach in LA. And she said, you know, she's huge about like getting you acquainted with your guides and doing this work. And, I mean, she does not necessarily do the work for you, by the way, you know, she kind of coaxes you to do the work yourself too. But, she did share with me that I had a guide named Marguerite. And I always thought, oh, that's funny. That's funny. Marguerite, who was my daughter in another life, maybe French, not sure.
Hmm.
But I realized that I was calling Juju Gigi, like Gigi.
Oh, yeah.
And I started to think, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's the nickname that I gave my daughter. It was Gigi, like Marguerite, like Gigi.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And I started to realize she's already been informing me through how I'm communicating with my cat.
Oh.
Also looking for other ways in which the nicknames that you give, your terms of endearment, mm-hmm. I think, are real telltale signs of some of the possible potential actual names of your guides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very cool.
Just a thought. That's kind of how I've been informed.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom. Thanks, Renee, for writing.
Yeah, thanks, Renee.
Appreciate it.
May from PA. If y'all have any experience or wisdom you could share around learning to continue to care for ourselves and our own systems, especially those of us who are queer and have dealt with significant trauma, while recognizing that stepping back to care for ourselves is also a privilege, I would greatly appreciate it. Perhaps specific suggestions for self-care during the fight, as well as actions that people can take who are legitimately not as able neurologically to be as frontline as they would like to be. You have discussed emotional and spiritual self-care work in the past. I feel like this would be a big help again now.
I have so many thoughts about this. There are so many different things that we can do right now to change our country, change the world. One of it, of course, is to show up at the protest and speak your voice and show up in solidarity for our Black brothers and sisters and people of color. If you're a white person, showing up is important. However, just as May said, there are those of us that aren't, for whatever reason, able to do that kind of work. And so this is what you can do. If you have a little bit extra money, you can donate to lots and lots and lots of organizations that are needing it right now. You know, there's lots of places you can donate your money, and money is energy, folks. Money is your own energy manifested in physical form. By putting money into the United Bail Fund, into Black Lives Matter's hands, into some sort of organization that you feel strongly about and want to support, you are energetically building them up and making their voices stronger and louder. So just by donating 10 bucks, you are absolutely impacting the movement. Another thing that you can do is what we talked about at the top of the show, and that is simply starting to have the conversation with yourself about how white supremacy and racism affects you and how you can change yourself to better the world. And again, there are lots of resources out there. I've been sharing them on my Instagram stories. I know Leslie has too. I'm going to continue having resources. I just found a great Google document that's written all for white people and what they can do about racism in our country actively. It's super helpful. It's really informative. Another thing is pulling back, which is what our full moon is going to ask us to do soon. Pulling back so that our nervous system has time to realign with what needs to be done next. Every single person has a role in this fight, but not all of us are built to be warriors. Like Leslie said at the top of the show, a lot of us are meant to be back at base camp to support and help feed and nourish those people that are on the front lines. And those people can be politicians, those people can be protesters, those people can be the folks that are doing grassroots organizational work, those people can be writers and artists that are doing work around racism in our country. It doesn't have to just be people protesting, it can be all sorts of people doing this work, and we can support them. I find that inaction, for me personally, is the most triggering thing, because I want to do something so badly and so much to help correct things. And so, you know, doing anything that you possibly can within your means to support folks that are doing this work is really important. The media is triggering, and there's so much of it pouring into our brains all the time from so many different directions. And sometimes the information is real, and sometimes it's created by a bot. And sometimes it's created by a false person that's not really who they are. So I know I said this last episode, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to shout it to the rooftops. Taking a break from the media is the most important thing that you can do right now if you are feeling frazzled and stressed out about what's going on. It's extremely important. You're not going to not be informed. You're going to continue being informed, but taking a break and logging off for 24 hours, 48 hours, doesn't matter. Take a break from it if you're feeling really stressed about it. That's what I do.
Or just don't watch it at all.
Or just don't watch it at all. Exactly. Exactly. Because you know it still exists. It's not going anywhere. You already know it. You already know it's there.
There's a weird duality that exists with, for example, my parents who sit around watching the news all day.
Mine do too.
And then me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying not to do it because it's so informed. But Jim and I were talking about this last night on the front porch, and it's like, these news places, they're creating the drama.
Yes, they are. Because
what else are they going to do if they don't have something to report on?
That's right.
So it's like, so
that's
what
right.
is real?
That's right.
That's why I love resources like John Oliver and when, you know, The Daily Show and Stephen Colbert and some of these folks that are, you know, I feel like there's an honesty that comes, especially from John Oliver. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's an honesty. And the other thing that Jim and I were talking about, too, and this is something like if I felt like I needed to know what was going on in the world, I tuned into BBC News.
Me too. Yep. Because they're not in it.
They don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit.
They're not here to put a polka dot dress on
nope.
it or not.
And they're not owned by any of the news. Yeah. Totally,
and that's
dude.
Why, you know, like Jim was saying too, like one of his friends was like, you know, Jim, if you want an honest, like, research, and I was like, BBC was what I raised myself on when I turned 18.
Yeah.
You know, so I will. I'll turn the BBC News on when I'm traveling or I'm listening and I want to catch up and I want to really honest. So
that's really good advice, Leslie.
Choosing it wisely.
Yeah, that's
because
really
this,
good.
This weekend going home was the first time I was like, oh, this is what everybody's talking about the news. It was too much for me. It was highly stressful.
Yeah.
And I immediately started going to a fatalistic place. Mm-hmm. And I immediately started to think it was the end of the world. And it's not.
No, it's not. Absolutely not.
This is necessary change that needs to happen so we can grow into a land and a community and a unity that is modern. We should not be having these arguments at 2020.
No.
This should have been solved 75, 85, 250 years ago.
I agree with you.
Not. So anyway, we're here and we're doing it.
We are. Yep.
I get it now, what people are talking about with the news. Mm-hmm. It's way too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you're right about that. And I also think that Facebook is way too much too. I mean, it is absolutely inundated nonstop. Nothing but
another resource I never used.
I know. And that's why I brought it up, because, you know, I think you're really, that's really spot on. You got to take a break from this stuff and also decide what kind of news you're going to digest and also when. Don't let it happen to you. You control it. You control what you're allowing in.
Perfect.
And this is a form of protection magic.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah,
you know, setting up your day, doing your, you know, Tony Stark technique, locking yourself down, working with, some sacred smoke, some sacred herbs, and deciding, okay, today I am not logging onto Facebook and I'm not watching CNN and I am going to donate $10 to the nonprofit that I love. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to check on my friends who might be having a hard time. And I'm going to take care of myself. And you're still doing the work. That's the thing. You're not missing out on anything. You're still doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Choose a day to be informed.
Yep. Tuesdays. Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Why not? No, that's Thursday.
Or Wednesday, Mercury.
Wednesday's Mercury Day. That's great. Yeah. I like that better.
Communication.
Then it's Thursday is Thursday. I got that wrong.
Thursday.
But then, you know, all the other things too. You know, taking salt baths, slowing down, taking time outside, trying, you know, your best to eat nourishing foods that your body is craving and loving, drinking water. I mean, all the obvious things that we talk about a lot. Those are the things that we really need to sink down into right now.
Love it. 100%.
Mm-hmm. And
do you know what I just found out?
Tell me.
How beneficial vetiver oil is for your nervous system. It's very calming, especially for folks that suffer from anxiety.
Hmm.
And it's very calming to the nervous system too. So burning vetiver, wearing vetiver oil,
mix
is grounding and stabilizing. Yeah.
Lavender and vetiver.
Yeah.
Our herbs of 2020. All the verse.
All the verse.
All the verse. Slather it on. Oh, man. Yep. Okay. I hope that helps, May. And
thanks, May.
All the love.
Yeah.
Jamie from Oregon writes, "Dear sweet, amazing, wise, and wonderful hags, your podcast has been a huge blessing this past month since I've marathoned them to try to get caught up. In complete honesty, life has been really rough, and I know everyone else is feeling it too. 4 months ago, my best friend, my dad, passed away from his long battle with cancer. Every day is hard, and I'm going to therapy, but I guess my question is there any kind of spell or magic that can relieve a heavy heart when the pain won't stop? I usually don't reach out in such an emotional way, but I'm feeling lost, and I know Leslie has been going through loss recently, too. Thank you for your time and help, your friendly neighborhood hedge witch, Jamie." Thanks for writing in, Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie. That's brave.
It is brave.
I love Rose. I mean, here we go, Rose again.
Rose again.
But like, you know, my goodness, it's so incredibly healing. Kind of spell or magic that can relieve a heavy heart when the pain won't stop.
Mm.
Remembering is heavy magic.
Mm-hmm.
To me, remembering is heavy magic. Air magic comes in quickly for me. Go ahead.
No, I like that too. I'm thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to ground your grief into an object? So, not banishment in a sense, because I think that's too harsh and too heavy. And grief is such a beautiful teacher and a necessary teacher in a lot of ways. But sometimes our bodies can hold on to it, cling to it too much, if that makes sense. And what if, Jamie, what if you were to do a cord cutting, envisioning whatever it would be that your grief would look like in front of you, and envisioning a cord, you know, attaching yourself to it, and then with love, of course, and compassion, of course, work at cutting that cord from your grief. And then the word grounding keeps coming into my head.
Well, yeah, because Mother Earth takes that pain and transmutes it in so many ways.
Right,
so
right,
creating
right.
a relationship there can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Grounding it, burying it.
Mm-hmm. Burying it, yeah.
But intentionally burying it.
Mm-hmm. Not in the sense of, go away, I don't want to look at you anymore, but in the sense of, this burden is too heavy and I need some help with that.
And we have a new relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
So earth magic, right? So that
right.
would be earth. And I would almost say, like, go through the elements.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Your elements are That's your great. Greatest teacher. They mm. are the salt and pepper of magic, as far as I'm concerned. And so, you know, like Allison shared, of course, earth, right?
Yeah, I know.
Virgo. and then I'm air. So, of course, immediately went to air. It's like, write a letter, write mm-hmm. your father a letter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you may have already done that, but write it, read it out loud, then set it on fire, then put it out with water, then bury it, you know, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. calling in all of the elements to create a spell that's powerful. Declare it. Tears streaming down your face at the top of the lungs. Read the letter so your father can hear it. You know, who gives a shit about your neighbors?
Yeah, whatever.
But, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
just going to a place where you're.
I love that.
Or, you know, call this journal, this new journal that you write in, call it Dad. And, you know, you open it up and you have a conversation with him when you feel like you need to talk to him.
Yeah.
And your Aww. New journal is now called My Best Friend Dad, you know? This is tough, Jamie. I'm going through that, you know, it feels like I'm hoping and I'm assuming that you had time to share because it's something that it took him time to battle this. So I'm really hoping that you had this beautiful ability to spend time with him saying goodbye. So it may be that it's not about necessarily saying goodbye, but it's more about now what?
Right.
You're not here and there's
right.
this empty space. And so then filling that with a light and this idea that there's a new level that can be achieved mm-hmm. here now. So filling that hole with a new idea of there's a new way we can communicate.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. Because it's not an end. You know?
Magic is weird when it comes to heart stuff because I just feel like we're supposed to feel it.
I think so too. Yeah, I think so too. And I think that's why I just went back to grounding it, because grounding it means that, you know, you're still honoring it and it's still a part of you, but that you're giving some of it back to the earth.
And shadow work surrounding this too, Allison, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of fears. Okay, now he's not here.
That's
so there's
right.
abandonment that can come up.
That's right.
There's loss. There's grief. There's, you know, you might have at some point, you know, I think that we can kind of get ourselves out of alignment when these things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So pulling that back in. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love
to light candles
yeah.
too. I always light a candle for, you know, I've had a candle going for Ouds. Since February, and yeah. I try to tend to, you know, I don't light it every night, but when I'm like, oh, I miss my boy, I'll light
yeah.
it. Like, hey, like, we're right down here. If you're looking for us, you know, here's the light. Here's our flare. So yeah,
that's great. And I just wanted to say, I really love and appreciate that you suggested the four elements, you know, and just something simple like what you had said. I think that's really beautiful. And I think we tend to complicate rituals so much. I do. I mean, I think everybody does, you know. I don't think it's necessary all the time. It can be a very simple thing just by bringing in these, you know, basic things, but these things that we are all made up of, you know, and they're sacred, they're special, and they're here for us to learn from.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And that fifth element can end up really kind of being your father, because it's the unseen, it's the cosmos, it's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have your completed
pentacle
thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Oh, I hope that helps, Jamie. I'm really sorry to hear about your loss, and I hope that you're doing well these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have Myruna from Romania. Hey, enchantresses. I wanted to write to you again. I wrote at the end of last year asking how to know if someone cursed you. After a while and some doctor appointments, I discovered that the way I was feeling was and is because I have chronic Lyme disease and I am currently under treatment. The way I found out and caught it early was so magical. I befriended a girl last year who had Lyme, and she was undergoing treatment because a friend of hers also had Lyme, and she insisted that she get tested. So this girl and her friend become really good friends. And when they heard that my ankles hurt, I was constantly tired, did not sleep well, they insisted I get tested too. Turns out they were right, and I find this coincidence a little too magical not to share. I'm undergoing treatment now, and hopefully I will get better because we caught it early, before a phase called neuroLyme began. This time I am asking for a healing spell or and something strong, please, like the whiskey of rituals. Some friends of mine performed an old Romany ritual, and indeed I have been feeling a bit better. Thanks for answering. That time I listened and took self-care a bit more seriously. You are awesome girls. Woo-hoo-hoo. I love this. Thank you so much. And I'm so thankful that you found these new friends and a new community that you can tap into and work with. Allison, healing spells. Now we're talking. I love a healing spell.
I do too. And I love this idea of a strong one, like the whiskey of rituals. Oh, I love that. That's so fun.
She would like this ritual neat.
Maybe a 10-year.
Maybe a twist of lemon.
Right.
All right.
Well, what I'm thinking of is a ritual bath. Because, you know, working with water is so healing, you know, it's nourishing, it's comforting. I know that Lyme can be quite uncomfortable when it comes to, you know, how the muscles feel and how your body feels in general. So I think doing a ritual bath that you're going to use as a way to kind of like encourage your body to become reborn. So things that you can put in your ritual bath, roses. The theme for this episode is roses. Roses would be excellent in a bath, not only because they're pretty.
I would do white roses.
Yes, too. White ones. Yes.
Yeah.
They're gorgeous. They smell nice. They look nice, but also they symbolize healing love. I would also put in yarrow. Yarrow is an excellent plant ally that helps to heal our psychic wounds. It helps to kind of close up any holes that we have in our aura. It's known as an excellent fortifier for our bodies, immune system as well, magically. So that would be a really nice thing to add to your bath. Any kind of yarrow. You can do white yarrow, yellow yarrow, doesn't matter.
Goat's milk.
Ooh, why goat's milk, Leslie?
It's very clearing and very healing to the energy system.
Hmm. And also good for your skin.
Mary Mueller Shutan taught me that.
Ooh, Mary Mueller Shutan. What's that book called again?
It's called Managing Psychic Abilities.
Right. Managing Psychic Abilities by Mary Mueller Shutan. I can never say her name.
In the Epsom salt to ease those sore muscles and then also create that salty, salty sweetness
we're looking for. That's right. That would be really good too. So far we've got yarrow, we've got white roses, we've got goat's milk, we've got Epsom or dead sea salts. One of those two would be great. I want to add a third plant ally. I would go with rosemary because rosemary is really, it's wonderful for clearing. It also is... smells nice. It also smells nice. It can also clear any kind of like psychic evil eye residue as well. And Leslie is nodding the shit out of her head. She's like, yeah, girl, that's great. So
I love that rosemary.
Yeah, rosemary would also be a nice one to add to this too. Any stone friends that she could add to her bath for amplification.
Quartz crystal.
Ooh, clear quartz.
An easy one. Clear quartz. Yep. It loves that salt water too, so you can put it right in there.
Mm-hmm.
Put it right in your bath. Sometimes I bathe with my big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Rose,
right? Rose quartz?
Rose quartz would be fine, and you can also put that right in the tub with you. You can take that right in the water. I would place selenite pyramids. If you have a selenite pyramid, if not, that's fine. Your selenite one will stay perched. What do I want to say?
Side
of the tub. Thank you.
Don't get it wet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Scolasite is also very healing. You do not want to get that wet. I love apophyllite. You can put that apophyllite in the water too. It's hot, very, very healing. 70% water.
Mm-hmm.
So quartz crystal, not a bright clear quartz, something that's more of a milkier quartz.
Agreed.
And truly, because quartz is the all healer and it amplifies the energy of what you're containing.
Right. Yeah.
So if nothing else surfaces, you're fine with your quartz crystal and your beautiful white candles, mm-hmm. tea lights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very healing energy there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So what you're going to do is you're going to kind of set the stage, right? So you are going to light your candles, place your crystals, draw your bath to the temperature that you like, add your goat's milk, your salt of some kind, your yarrow, your white roses, fresh if you can, and your rosemary, fresh if you can as well. And you're going to kind of let that steep and sit. And before you get into the bath, I would stand and kind of imagine all of the muck and the sadness and the grief and the yucky feelings and all the things that you're trying to get rid of. Imagine it going up to the surface of your skin, so it's just on the outside of your body. And you're going to hold that in your mind, and then you're going to safely step into the bathtub, sink down in, and allow all of it to be released into the water. Let the plants do their work. Let the salt do their work. Let your stone friends do their work. Allow your body to relax in the hot water. And then once the water is cold, you want to pull the plug and allow all of it to drain out and continue envisioning all that stuff to go down the drain. And then what I like to do is I like to run fresh water, let that run down the drain so that all that stuff is gone. And this is something that you're going to do a couple of times. I would say 3 a month, maybe 4 a month. And I find this to be really refreshing and also super rejuvenating to a body that is, you know, tired and for a spirit that's tired too, because it sounds like, you know, it sounds like you're coming out of it, which is great. But I find, you know, something like this would be really helpful.
Yeah. Did you talk about, so you fresh water, but coming out of the bath?
I didn't talk about that. What would you suggest?
I love to, sometimes I'll get like two tea lights or two tapers or two novena candles that are white, and I create a threshold. So I step through it and then I step backwards out of it, insinuating that I'm sort of reborn. And I think too, like being in the water, like creating this kind of like reborn, freshly sealed and healed, like placenta visualization.
Yeah.
Placenta. Calling in that healing placenta and imagining yourself sort of reemerging too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you would place the candles on the floor, step through it, get into
the
bath.
Or you can place them right on the edge of the tub.
Oh, like, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you have a lip there that you can set things on.
Yeah.
And then you can pass through that way.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, and then it's a doorway. Oh, Leslie.
Thresholds. Nice. Thresholds. Thresholds. Mm. Now I step in and now I step out.
That's great. I love
into it. Into a new reality.
Yeah. Another thing you would need to do would be to allow it to dry. So you don't necessarily want to pat yourself down with a towel. You just want it to air dry. And then what the last piece would be to use some sacred smoke and kind of seal the deal. Mugwort would be a good one. Lavender would be a good one. You could also burn dried rose. Dried rose would be nice too.
Yeah.
To kind of seal the deal. But yeah, I think that would be a good way to kind of celebrate your newfound health too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Carly from Pennsylvania writes, "Hello, my favorite hags. I apologize in advance for the length of this email. Last summer, I sent in an email about being able to hear gentle humming of crystals when I held them up to my ears. Thank you for taking the time to answer that. Well, it's gotten weirder from there. Last summer was a time of growth for me. I was in a very good place emotionally, which is when I began to hear the crystals. On the other hand, I also seemed to turn into some sort of antenna for the spirit world. As I laid in bed at night, I could hear chatter and visions of faces would flash before me as if I were flipping through TV channels or radio stations. One face of a man even caused me to jolt right out of bed. These felt very distant and more like I was just an observer. I had a rough go this past fall and winter, and these patterns died down. Now, I am in an even better place, so glad to hear it, and feel a kind of contentment that I haven't felt since I can remember. This, however, has seemed to open the spiritual floodgates, and it's as though spirits are now flocking to me. Whenever I lay down to go to sleep, I'm constantly being interrupted by spirits talking to me and even showing me parts of their life and how they died. They even butt in when I'm trying to set my intentions with my guides. I'm often accompanied by very vivid dreams. I'm not frightened by them and feel called to dive deeper into this gift, but they are becoming a bit of a nuisance and the vivid dreams are affecting my sleep. Any advice on how to have more control over this situation would be so appreciated. Thank you for taking the time to read this saga and thank you for being an inspiration. Warmly, Carly." Oh, Carly. That sounds like fun.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
Set up an altar, boundaries, create a space in which you can begin the conversation that they know that they can come there and talk with you. Dreams are not a place and it's not okay for them to come there and visit you when you're trying to get restful sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hang a hagstone on your bedpost.
Ooh, a hagstone. Hmm. Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Yeah, boundaries are huge, right? And I like also how you're telling them, you're directing them where to go. Because right now they're just coming in willy-nilly as they want.
They don't know.
No, they don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so showing them this is a place where we can communicate and I will come to you and I will open up and we will begin working.
Right, right. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This feels like a Archangel Michael scenario too, as far as you know, asking if you feel called to work with an archangel, of course, asking him to hang out next to you when you're sleeping to kind of protect your spirit body. Maybe not in a ultra aggressive way per se, but in a compassionate way. And he can kind of, you know, be that kind of traffic director. Do not disturb sign or traffic director. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, or any other kind of guide that you have a relationship with that you feel would do, you know, a good job at this sort of work would be a nice thing.
Yeah. And I do feel like you need to be firm. This is part of your gift and your more, but yeah, you need to be firm, but this is part of your gift. And this is something that you need to open up to do mm-hmm. more of this work. Mm-hmm. So starting now with good boundary setting and, you know, communication is going to be key. But I think like tapping into mediumship, waking up to your clairs. Of course, the Psychic Abilities book is going to be helpful in all of this. Mm-hmm. Going through and checking in with your chakra energy from time to time, making sure that you're locked in and spinning and refreshed. But I would put, unfortunately, I don't have a major book recommendation, but I think like tapping in, and it might even be like, finding a mentor at some point that can do some work with you on this too. Mm-hmm. But even like asking them what their purpose is, why are they contacting you?
I was thinking that because it seems like, you know, when things are good and you're clear, it kind of whoosh, you know, they just kind of like rush in.
They're kind of polite, you know, they're not messing with you when you're like, can't handle it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, but like I was thinking about asking the question of like what do you want me to know and what can I do?
Yeah.
You know? Those are some good questions to ask them.
Yeah, so do not disturb sign when you're sleeping, however you want that to look. It might be, right? You're like you said mm-hmm. with Archangel Michael, maybe you have another practice that works for you as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. Or even just saying that to them, like, this is a no do not disturb zone.
Right. Right.
I need to rest. If you want me to do this work and communicate with you, I have to rest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A really good plant ally to use in this kind of like do not disturb situation would be any kind of thistle flower. And that is just as simple as going to a flower shop and trying to find some dried artichoke or going out and identifying, you know, any kind of spiky thistle plant. Bull thistle, I know you live here in Pennsylvania, so bull thistle is really great, marsh thistle, globe thistle, milk thistle, which is really commonly used in the supplement world, and even burdock can be really great. And you would gather their flowers and kind of dry them and then use them as like an amulet that would, you know, protect you while you're sleeping. That's, you know, traditionally used for any kind of like psychic work in that way. So mm-hmm, that would be mm-hmm. helpful.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And hagstones work really well with that too. Like the companions, you know?
Yeah. You could keep that hagstone hanging from your bed or under your pillow. Believe it or not, I'm also like, you know, your rainbow obsidians can be very helpful because I'm thinking of flashes. Like the seen, unseen. So like black moonstone could even be helpful. Larvacite can be very helpful in this. Mm-hmm. Labradorite. Mm-hmm. Your moonstone could even be helpful. And selenite definitely helps us communicate with the spirit world, mm-hmm. as does angelite. So almost like a microphone, like putting that angelite up to your mouth and be like, the communication series of the group work today will now conclude. I am going to sleep. Do not bother me. We can reconvene in the morning when we meet at our appropriate place. Thank you very much. Have a good night. You know, like.
I love it.
Like, done. We're done here this evening.
Yeah.
Class dismissed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it, you know, I kind of feel like there's a sense of humor to some of this as well. Yeah. Truly. Like, yeah. I think that there can be a playfulness in our, there is some seriousness as well, but a playfulness in the communication here.
I would agree. Yeah, I would totally agree. That's great.
Yeah.
Mm. So lots of friends. Mm-hmm. Lots mm-hmm. of friends to get to know. That's cool.
Yeah.
I wonder, I wonder if she's going to be called. I mean, we talked about this a long time ago as far as like getting information from them and what to do with that information.
I do have a book here maybe I'll mention.
Okay, go for it.
From our dear friend Michael from Old Ways. He recommends The Art of Mediumship, Psychic Investigation, Clairvoyance, and Channeling by medium Elaine Kuzmeskis. And I'm looking at this. It's saying it's an overview. It goes into personal experience, different types of spirit guides, different types of spiritual abilities, third eye meditations, channeling, and is very comprehensive. So it might be a helpful resource.
Excellent.
But I can't say of one that I know personally that I've worked with. So.
That's great.
I'm sorry.
No, that's great. It's a great, great suggestion. Yeah, that's awesome. I guess, yeah, so where I was going with that was, what do you do with the information that they give, you know? I mean, I guess it's really up to each medium, each person. I'm just wondering aloud, really.
Well, and I appreciate your wondering, because, you know, sometimes, like, is it just that they want to tell their story?
Is it just
about telling your story to be freed of it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I wonder if it's like they, like, I wonder if we need a witness when we pass, like for some of us that get stuck, a witness that's like, I see you and I can free you. Like, is she there to like open a gate? So Die-Wise might be another really good book.
That's a great
too about helping people like pass over that are still kind of wandering this Middle Earth. Right? So is it like I need you to witness me, or I need help passing over, or there's still a message I need to get to somebody before I can pass to the next realm?
And I guess, you know, Carly's going to have to figure out, you know, what her boundaries are around that. You know, is she comfortable reaching out?
Absolutely.
You know, to people that are still here in physical form. Oh, that's going to be interesting. I want to find out more on what's going to happen.
Keep us updated.
Yeah, please keep us updated, Carly. And thank you so much for writing in. We really appreciate it. I want to thank all of our listeners for being here and staying strong.
Thank you. We love you.
We love you so much, and we support you, each of you, wherever you are on your journey. And thank you for your questions. Keep them coming.
Keep them rolling in.
Yeah. The Ask a Hag podcast is produced by Donna Kyler. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen. You can be a part of this podcast too. Leave us a voice message on the Anchor FM app and we will play it on the show. And don't forget to review us on Apple Podcasts. We love 5 stars. It's our favorite. You can find this podcast on Instagram at ask.a.hag or at askahagpodcast.com. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Thank
Talk to you.
You
soon. Bye.
Love you, mean it.
Love you, mean it.
Love you.
Don't
call me. I'll call you.
That's right. That's the end.